This is Jean McMillan interviewing Patricia Gomez at her home, Main Street, Lakeville, Connecticut, corner of Lincoln City Road. She's going to talk about the Methodist Church, the Fall Festival, and anything else that tickles her fancy. The date is October 3rd, 2012. And we'll start with, what is your full name?
Patricia Pattengill Gomez.
Patricia Pattengill. And how do you spell Pattengill?
P-A-T-E-N-G-E-L-L.
All right. And where were you born?
I was born at home in Rosedale, Long Island.
And would you give me your birth date?
January 8th, 1928.
And what were the names of your parents?
Florence and Russell Pattengill.
And do you or did you have any siblings?
I have one brother, Russell Jr.
What's your educational background?
High school and finished Katie Gibbs Secretarial School in New York.
How did you come to this area?
My grandparents had a home in Cornwall Bridge.
And what were their names?
Carrie and Charles Pattengill.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And
my husband's family, well, let's see. That's the best way to approach it. After World War II, my grandmother moved back to the home in Cornwall Bridge. She had been in New York to help my father out during the war. She was his secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And she came back up to Cornwall Bridge. And, I guess she was up here before then, come to think of it. She ran a transient house, which was like today's motor inn.
Ah.
But she called it a transient house. And my husband's mother used to help her in the kitchen and serve her guests their meals.
And what was your husband's mother's name?
Florence Gomez.
Okay.
And his father's name is Wesley.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And so that's how you actually met your husband?
Mm-hmm. After the war, when she did come back up, my husband's family had lived in the house during the war, and they moved back to their own home when my grandmother came back, but they used part of our land to grow their vegetable garden. And when I came up to be with her for a week, I met my husband in the bean patch picking beans.
That's a good place to meet a husband.
Yeah.
When did you buy Quality Farm on Wells Hill?
In 1955.
And what kind of a farm was it?
Dairy farm.
And how large was the acreage?
It was around 75 or 78 acres, something like that, all told.
And whom did you buy it from?
From Mr. and Mrs. Dilworth.
And they had run it previously as a dairy farm?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was very well known in the Holstein-Friesian Association.
Oh, Friesians?
Holstein-Friesian, oh, okay. Yeah, that's what the black and white cows
mm-hmm.
are
yeah.
called.
Mm. Then how did your husband get into the funeral business?
Well, in his yearbook from high school, Housatonic High School, in the section where they, you know, meet the future
yes.
type thing, there was a little blurb in there about two of the classmates talking about, did you see Francis Gomez's funeral home down, you know, wherever.
Uh-huh.
So I guess he'd always thought about it.
Really?
Of, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your daughter said as a young man he used to dig graves.
Oh, yeah. Well, he and his brother Bob, when they were kids, they'd work in gardens and so forth, 25 cents an hour. And yes, they used to dig graves in the local cemeteries. Just the two of them, with a shovel and a pick.
Oh, my word.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my word.
Mm-hmm.
That was hard work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they worked hard for what they had.
Yes, they did. What kind of training did he have to actually become a mortician?
Oh, he went to the McAllister Institute in New York City for his training.
And did he do an internship?
He really interned at the funeral home with Henry Pezzetta.
And this would be the funeral home in Canaan?
Mm-hmm. The Newkirk. He bought it from Roger Newkirk. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When did he buy the business from Roger Newkirk?
I think it was, 1974, I think it was, or 73 or 74.
Somewhere in the early 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be about right.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that are a responsibility of a funeral home director?
Well, it's it's been a while. To provide the comfort, basically, I think that's the most important thing. To do what's best for those who are left, and you know,
make the transition as easy as possible for the family or the people that are left.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It takes a very compassionate person to do that, I think.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did he have any staff while he ran the funeral home?
Yeah, Henry Pezzetta stayed on.
Okay.
And so did Paul Driscoll.
All right.
For a little while. And then Susan, our daughter Susan, got her. Back then you had a funeral director's license and you had an embalmer's license. And you did not have to have an embalmer's license to be a funeral director. So Susan got her funeral director's license. But Henry oversaw his doing the, you know, embalming work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did your husband actually get an embalming certificate as well?
That's when he went to McAllister Institute.
For that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, tell me about the Methodist Church. And I think you said you started in Cornwall.
Oh, well, there was a Methodist Church in Cornwall Bridge, and that my husband had gone to, he and his family, for when they were small. And when we bought the farm here, Mrs. Fitz, Tilly Fitz, who was the dean of girls down at high school and had known Francis in high school, she heard we were coming, or whatever, and she extended an invitation for us to come to their church, to one of their, I guess it was a supper, I can't remember exactly.
Probably.
And Susan was only 5 years old, and we came over, and that's how we got involved with Methodist Church, through Tilly Fitz.
Excellent.
She was a lovely lady.
I wish I'd known her.
Yeah.
This must have been around the time that Jerry Pollock was pastor.
Let's see now.
Because he stayed until 82.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There was... Right.
Because he came in 63 and he stayed to 82.
Yeah, because he and Nancy, their oldest child, Nancy and... our daughter Sandy were in the same grade, and they, matter of fact, they still see each other.
Oh,
that,
good.
That whole group in that grade get together all the time.
That's wonderful.
At least once or twice a year they all get together.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to have friendships from when you were growing up in your hometown.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the things that the Methodist Church did for community outreach? I mean, did they participate in church suppers? What did they do?
Oh, yeah. We used to have a lot of church suppers, and we'd have a big barbecue in the summer, and ham dinners in the winter, and roast beef dinners, and the ladies of the church, Emma Pollock was just amazing, Jerry's wife.
Oh, yes.
And she did the the Rotary luncheons for the Rotary Club for years. Mm-hmm. She was just absolutely just great. And beyond that, I mean, there were a lot of things. We used to have dances, and I can remember a number of times with dances. And we were very active. We had a large group of children way back then.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, things have changed.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah. So well, the whole most. Not all, but most ladies stayed home with their children.
And now there
was
working.
A whole different ball game.
It was.
Yeah, whole different ball game.
What about either a sewing group or arts and crafts?
We had Sunday School Mothers and Friends.
Ah, tell me about that.
SSMAF. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. We'd get together and we'd do handicrafts at least once a month. We did a lot with the Fall Festival when it was the Antiques Fair.
Yes.
That's all changed, too.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you about that, too.
Mm-hmm. And we would meet month to month. Each of us would take some kind of a project and have everything together, and we'd all put it together, something different every month.
Mm-hmm. I have a note here about apples. Did you give out apples for Halloween, or?
Well, the first year that we went to the Antiques Fair,
mm-hmm.
was outside, I guess, I'm trying to think, was it the library lawn?
Or probably.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly. And that's when Jerry and Emma were here.
Mm-hmm.
And we sold apples outside.
Well, Cindy and I are going to be selling baked goods outside on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, what was the Antiques Fair like when you were involved with it at first? Because I know it's changed.
It has changed. Well, it was, I mean, both the St. John's and the Congo Church, they were the two where most things happened.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning we were in both churches because each church had something different.
Mm-hmm.
And the baked goods were in the Congo Church,
yeah.
which we did. And the arts and crafts was in the Congo Church. Mm-hmm. The plant tent was outside, the plant tent. We participated in that. And dried flower arrangements.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Cindy Barnett's mom.
Uh-huh.
She was great. Mary was great in that department.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah. And then in the St. John's Church, they had, what did they used to call it? The treasure trove, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Treasure trove, and it was like a huge tag sale also. And we joined them for that.
Ah.
Because the Congo Church didn't do that.
That was St. John's.
That was St. John's, Bailiwick. And they always had a huge wedge, a round of cheese. And all the ministers in town would take turns wielding the knife to cut the cheese.
Ah, that I don't remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When did the Fall Festival start? In the 50s?
Oh, goodness. I can't remember exactly which one is coming up this time, this year. I'm trying to think. Yeah, it had to be late 50s. We didn't move here till 55, so it was probably late 50s, yeah.
Okay.
Well, it was going on. I don't know if it was going on before we got here. I don't know. I can't remember.
And what I remember in the 70s anyway is in the town hall was an antique show.
That was where Trinity Church had their antiques fair.
That was lovely.
That was then, of course, when the town hall burned down.
That sort of ended that.
It was never the same after that. They did tents on the White Hart lawn, mm-hmm. you know, the triangle.
Yeah.
But it was never quite the same after that. And eventually Trinity just kind of bowed out. Now it's just the Fall Festival.
And does St. Mary's still participate?
Well, up until maybe the last few years, St. Mary's, yes, St. Mary's joined in a couple years or a year or so after we were asked to come into the Congo Church. Mm-hmm. And they did a lot of baked goods, and they did arts and crafts, too.
Yeah.
Plants. The last few years, they have been doing their lasagna dinner on Friday night, and we've been doing the ham dinner on
Saturday night.
But I haven't seen any advertisements at all for a lasagna dinner this year.
I haven't either.
So I guess maybe
they're not
doing it.
Well, we are doing the ham dinner.
Yeah, that's what I've been told.
Yeah, well, I've seen the big sign.
Yep.
And I do remember working the arts and crafts table, which in the Congregational Church at one time was up on the stage.
That's where we were, the Catholics and the Methodists mostly on the stage when we had all that, yeah.
And then I've worked the country kitchen, which was down on the floor.
Yeah.
And this year, I guess we're having a tent outside on the lawn and we're selling baked goods for the benefit of the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going back to the Rotary Luncheons. There were two things that Emma was noted for, and they were what?
Well, one was her ice cream cake, which all the guys just loved the ice cream cake when she had that. And it was, she used to say, well, there's nothing to it.
But they loved it.
Yes, they did. Now, I don't know, what's the other
one? The other one was meatloaf.
Ah.
The meatloaf.
Okay.
I heard that from my husband. He really liked the meatloaf.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good.
And it was...
We had a good time with that.
It was held in the Methodist Church from '48 to '98.
Yeah.
It was a good long time.
Yeah. After Emma left, Marion Haberly.
Marion Haberly took it over, and she ran it for a number of years.
Yeah.
But at that point, I think she told me that it was Hotchkiss that was preparing the food.
It got where, I don't know the details of that, but it got to be, we all got kind of old, you know.
Well, it was...
Kind of takes a lot out of you.
It's hard work.
Yeah.
To prepare for 50 or 60 fellows every Tuesday for years and years and years, and to serve it, and to clean up.
Yeah.
And I think you said that Pauline Silvernail used to take care of washing up the dishes.
Yeah, she was... Well, she was always at the sink. That's right. We did and still do have a dishwasher.
Yes.
But there's an awful lot of things that don't go into the dishwasher.
Yeah.
And she was always there. She was great.
Oh.
She was great.
Wonderful to have people like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me about the 55 flood. I know you've got a good story about that.
Well, yeah. I can't remember. It must have been a Sunday because we had every other Sunday off when we had the dairy farm.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go to my mother-in-law's in Cornwall Bridge. And I remember coming down off the hill, Wells Hill, and went to go around the old mill that was there, and the old mill wasn't really there anymore. It was kind of a shock.
Yeah.
You know? But as far as we ourselves, it didn't affect us.
Because you were up on the top of the hill.
Because we were up on the hill, yeah. But it was really devastating for an awful lot of people.
Oh, yes.
Just awful. Yeah, we were lucky. We were lucky.
And you valued that. I've got a story from Bill Benson, and he was up on the top of Brinton Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't get off the hill because of the flood.
Mm-hmm.
So it... Some people were lucky, and others that were down in the valley weren't so lucky.
That's right. That's right.
Did you at one time participate in civic activities, boards, town organizations?
Well, when Noble Horizons had a program for Meals on Wheels, I did deliver Meals on Wheels to a lot of local people when that was... I can't even remember how many years ago. I mean, that was a long time
ago. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, way before what they do now for Meals on Wheels.
Yeah.
But as far as, I mean, except for the church, I really...
Well, with running a farm.
Yeah, and
had
all those
the church,
kids.
And you had a few children, I think, about seven?
Yeah, seven.
So you were a busy lady.
Yeah.
Is there anything, any memories, or anything particular that you'd like to add to this interview that we haven't talked about? The business, the children, the church, the fall festival?
Well... Well, you're talking about activities and so forth. I think my children, especially my girls, Susan and Sandy, have kind of made up for that. They've been involved in a lot of
very much
town
so.
Boards, and Susan was on P&Z for a long, long time. Sandy ran with Peter Oliver for, what was it, selectman or for... They ran for some town office.
Yes.
Francis ran for selectman one year.
Mm-hmm.
I just remembered that. I can't even remember when that was. That was a long time ago. But they kind of made up for what I didn't do.
You know, it's interesting about families giving back. And that's the one thing that I've discovered in doing this. So many people give of their time and nobody knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
That you really do have to do a little digging. Because
whether
it's SWASA or the Town Beautification or the Garden Club, everyone that I've talked with gives something back to the town,
mm-hmm.
either because that's the way they were raised or they love the town or it's a particular mm-hmm. interest. And it's so wonderful mm-hmm. in this day and age to know so many people that are giving generously of their time, as you are with me this morning, to give back to the community.
Well, of course, I was assistant town clerk for 17 and a half years.
Oh, tell me about that.
Well, I started when Lila was still there.
Oh, yes.
And she was something, I tell you. I had such fun with Lila. I really enjoyed my couple years with her. She was great fun. She was great fun. And she taught me a lot. And
what did you do as assistant town clerk then?
Well, the usual, you know, the dog licenses and the fishing licenses, and I did all the recording of the land deeds and this, that, and the other thing. Maps. Just whatever a town clerk does.
You did.
I did. The only thing that I wasn't really... totally involved in was the election. I always kind of left it to Lila.
Mm-hmm.
And she was busy with that, so we just left it at that.
She gave me the oath when I came to town.
Mm-hmm.
Now that would have been back in 67.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I started with Lila in, I think it was 79. Yeah, 79. July,
then you,
beginning of July in 79.
You were involved in the town hall when the fire happened.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can remember...
Yeah.
I think you were in... It was 85. You were in the basement of the Scoville Memorial Library giving out absentee ballots in
mm-hmm.
87 because Foster
mm-hmm.
and I were going to England for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we needed an absentee ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember that.
Yeah. And then they had the trailer over there
mm-hmm.
For a while so that we could use the vault.
Yes.
And
the vault didn't get destroyed.
No, it didn't. No.
And were they able to get out some of the artifacts, the pictures and
I think
things like that?
They saved quite a bit of things. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was... it was the middle of the building. We were kind of on one end, so we didn't get as much
damage. But it was the center part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all of the murals in the second story went.
Yes, I'm pretty sure the second story was
That went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a shame.
Oh, yeah.
That's a shame.
Who were the selectmen that you worked under, first selectmen?
Charlotte was mm-hmm. most of the time.
Yeah.
And after Charlotte was Buddy Trotta. And I'm trying to think who was there when I left.
Hmm. Was it Val Bernadone?
No, I don't think it. No, it must
Bob Smithwick?
Yeah, maybe it was Bob. Yeah.
What kind of management style did Charlotte have? Was she very hands-on?
Yeah, she was. Yeah. Yeah.
And she would make sure everything was running in ship-shape order.
She did her best. Yeah. It is not easy running anything.
No.
Yeah.
It isn't.
No. So.
She did a good job.
Yeah. I didn't always agree with everything she did, but that's the way it is in this country.
Oh.
You don't have to agree
no.
all the time.
No. You can mm-hmm. Disagree to disagree.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be disagreeable about it.
That's right. That's right. And Doretta Belcher was her secretary there. Well, she was the secretary to Henry Rossier and Pinkham. What was his first name?
Joseph.
Joe Pinkham and Charlotte. Doretta did all three of them.
Doretta Belcher was the wife of
Henry
Belcher. Mm-hmm. Now, Henry Rossier was
his position?
He was the building inspector.
Building inspector.
And Joseph Pinkham was sanitation.
Yeah.
Who have I forgotten? Oh, all right. She did the three.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many people were in the town hall at that time as far as staff was concerned?
Well, Denise was the tax collector.
Mm-hmm.
And Doretta, and Henry, Joe. George Bushnell was one of the selectmen.
He was one of the selectmen. How about George Kiefer?
Yeah, I guess George was a selectman. I can't remember exactly when, but he was in there. Buddy Trotta was a selectman after
mm-hmm.
them.
Who was the assessor at that time?
Bill Silta.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And town clerk would have been Lila, and you were assistant town clerk.
Yeah. And after Lila came Louise Kiefer.
McGrath.
Louise McGrath, yeah.
She did Foster and our marriage license. We were the first ones to take out a marriage license
mm-hmm.
with her.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, who was it Dick Fitzgerald who was the probate judge at the time of the...
I think so.
Yeah, at the time of the fire.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think, who was in the assessor's office? Oh, goodness, that's terrible.
Did Bill Silta have an assistant?
I can't remember.
It's all right. We got lots of names there. What are some of the things after the fire that, I'm talking about damage control. What are some of the things that you had to do either to refurbish the records or change things? What are some of those things?
Well, our vault didn't suffer too much damage. A little bit of damage, but not the way that the vault in the basement for the probate court suffered. But there was a system of putting books in a big plastic bag, and there was some kind of crystals or something that you put in it that you sealed it up and it would dry it out and so forth and so on. And to my recollection, I don't think we lost a whole lot.
Was it smoke damage or water damage?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
And how long did it take, not to build the building, but how long did it take to get up and running again after the fire?
Well, I don't think we were held back too much.
It didn't seem so.
No, we just kind of moved whatever we could. The town crew. And set up as best we could and just kept on going.
And all of the people in the community, I'm sure, helped.
Yeah, it was it was pretty much of a shock, I'll tell you.
Oh.
The town was agog, as we say, and I don't blame it. It was hard to understand why
it happened.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
We went through town that morning.
Couldn't believe it.
And it was like, what?
Yeah.
It was such a shock.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just incredible. Mm. Just incredible. But like the phoenix, rose from the ashes.
Yes, it did. It did.
This has been such fun. Thank you so very much for giving me your time and
your
knowledge.
You're more than welcome.
And I've enjoyed it thoroughly.
Thank you. I have too.